I said, I feel like I'm stepping out of the pastor position into a prophetic anointing this morning, because I feel like this is going to be a pretty strong word this morning. If you know me, I would never hurt your feelings on purpose. But if the word hurts, then that means it's doing something sometimes. Amen. If the word comes and it hurts, that means there's something in us that needs to die. If the word comes and it doesn't hurt and it strengthens, then the word is taking root. But if it hurts, that means there's something that needs to die. And I need to allow that word to do that work on the inside of me. Amen. So we talked about that. Then I gave you five things that we learned about Joseph, in the life of Joseph, that we learned about vision. If you didn't get that, then that CD didn't work out too well. I've got it at the house, and it's got some really bad spots on it. But maybe we'll come back, or if you take good notes, then you'll have that. But today, I want to give you four things that'll help you not cry uncle till dad shows up. You see, what's going on today is the enemy, life, sometimes people in our lives are pulling at us and trying to pull us away from the ongoing progressive redemptive revelation of the will of God. If the enemy knows if there's some button to push to cause you to quit, how many knows he's going to lay on that button? He's going to lay on that button. He knows what your button is. He knows what my button is. Life knows what my button is. Sometimes the people we love the most knows what our button is. And for some reason, we feel like, well, today I'm going to be Tiffany's button pusher, and I'm going to push her button. And I don't know why we get that way, but sometimes we just feel that way. I guess that's that old nature that still tries to be there. But I want to give us some things. We talked about not crying uncle till daddy shows up, and I gave you the example of my children, that they did that little fight where they put their hands like this, and the older was saying to his little brother, now, what do you got to say? What do you got to say? And Christopher wouldn't say it. I've shared with both of them that I shared this message to you, and both of them said, I don't remember that happened, but both of them said, but I don't doubt it. And if you know my boys, you know that's true. But Stephen had his hands in his little brother's hands, and Christopher's 5 years younger than Stephen, and he was saying, say it, say it, say it. And Christopher would not cry uncle. And he was like, say it, that's all you got to do is say it. And Stephen's much more mercy motivated than even Christopher is. And Christopher would not say it. And finally, Stephen said, why wouldn't you say it? Why wouldn't you cry uncle? And he said, because my daddy's coming. And I was in the hallway, and he heard me in the hallway, and he knew that his daddy was not going to let his brother do him wrong. And all I had to do was stick my head in the door and say, stop it. I want you to hear me say that, because that's what I've been hearing over and over and over and over and over in my spirit, is my daddy looking in the door of the room of my life and looking at the button pusher and saying, stop it. And how many knows two words from God can equal everything else man will ever say? If God says stop it, they can't nothing do but obey what God says. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the beginning and the end. There ain't, ooh, I'm going to do it today. He is everything we need. And if we'll understand that, and you'll know today that as much as God has ever been in anyone's life, He's in your life today. Your life is not over because you're here. If your life was over, you wouldn't be here. There is, you can say, but Mike, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've experienced. You don't know the hurt. You don't know the pain. You don't know the failures, but you're here, and daddy's in the hallway, and he knows where you are. He knows what you're dealing with. He knows what buttons are being pushed. And Father God wants to speak to your life today and say, there is vision for tomorrow. There is more than what you're experiencing. There is something greater than what you've known in the past. There is something more for you to receive and see and know in God that will absolutely blow you away. Joseph shared his dream with his brothers. You would think family would be the best people to share your dream with. But his brothers were jealous. There's a lot of jealous folk out there. His brothers didn't want to see him. They didn't understand the vision. There's a lot of folk that don't understand the word in the mouth of God. And the more you walk in it, the more you realize that. And mostly it is the religious folk, the folk that call ourselves brothers and sisters. That don't know how, because you see, people want to say, well, it didn't work for me, so I'll be John Brown if I'm going to let it work for you. But you see, working for me is not according to what anybody else thinks. It's according to what God did before the foundation of the earth. He knew that Mike Whiting was going to turn 52 years old one day, and he was going to be standing in front of Lamplight Church on this day. And he knew that there was a message on the inside of me that the enemy would try for a lifetime to keep it from going forth. But I'm standing here today, not because I did things right, not because I did things wrong, because my God is greater than my successes and my failures. And he gave me the strength to stand here and speak to you today, saying that wherever you've come through, whatever you've come through, whatever has happened, whether it's been great, whether it's been bad, there is more in God than you've ever known. And he wants to do it in your life as much as he's ever done it in mine or anybody else's. Amen. Amen. I'll amen myself. I want to give you four things that will help you not cry uncle till daddy comes. And I hope you'll write these down, because if the tape messes up, you'll have it anyway. Amen. Four things to help you not cry uncle till daddy shows up. And the first one's going to sound a little bit kind of different, but we're going to grab it by the horns and just see what God says. Number one, you got to develop an inner toughness for the journey. You've got to develop an inner toughness for the journey. I was thinking about this one. And this morning, I was eating me some breakfast, and I was thinking about developing an inner toughness for the journey. And you know what I heard by the Spirit of God? Grow up.
Yeah, that's right. All right.
To develop an inner toughness for the journey, you gotta grow up. You see, there's things in our life that we know if those buttons get pushed, that something's gonna come out of us that's not like God unless we choose to grow up. What I got away with when I was 10 is no longer acceptable at 52. What I got away with at 15 is no longer acceptable at 52. What I got away with at 25 and at 30 and at 40 and at 51 is no longer acceptable at 52. If there is an ongoing, progressive, redemptive revelation of the will of God in my life, then what happened yesterday cannot keep me from coming into what my today has for me.
That's exactly right.
If I choose to grow up, there comes a place in our lives when we hear those things and we say, when something hurts us or something comes against us, and we want to say, well, I just want to go and crawl into bed and pull the covers over my head and just hide in church. I've been there even recently. Then I have to say, Mike, grow up. I'm not judging anybody. If you're struggling, please, please, please don't hear what I'm not saying. Be encouraged. Don't be discouraged. Grow up. See, there's a thing in life called maturity. And if we didn't have maturity, we'd all remain babes. The scriptures talks about the fact that there are those among us that just choose to remain babes. And it's amazing, we've talked about this in the past, how people get born again, get spirit filled, take everything they know about the will of God, everything they know about the word of God, everything they understand about God, they put in their spiritual suitcase, they latch their suitcase, got their suitcase sitting down, are sitting on their suitcase and just waiting for Jesus to return. Those people are still today spiritual babes. And the winds of life are blowing, the storms of life are coming, and they're getting rocked to and fro, and they're sitting on their suitcase going, I don't understand why this is happening. And God says, everything you need to have to weather the storm is inside your stupid suitcase. You got to get it out and get out the will and the word of God, the redemptive, revelation, progressive revelation of the will of God, and get that active in your life so that when the storms of life come, you'll say, blow, wind, blow. Come, storm, come. For whatever. There's a rock that I'm standing on today. I'm not standing on sinking sand. I'm not standing on shifting sand. I'm standing on the rock of God in my life. And the wind can blow and the storms can do whatever they want to do, but the rock will sustain me. Not me, the rock. The rock of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So we've got to develop an inner toughness for the journey. In Luke 9, verse 62, it says this. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, most of us have experienced times in our lives when we were probably a little bit more what is the word, strengthened, or maybe a little bit more in the obedience of God. Maybe some people today, you're saying, man, I'm further to God than I've ever been. But all of us have experienced times when we were doing really good and times when we were not doing so well. And Jesus is saying, no one having put his hands to the plow and looking back. We look back at when we talked about the other week about the children of Israel, when they were being brought out of bondage, that they went through all this stuff. I mean, they were seeing mighty miracles of God. They were seeing mighty moves of God. And still began to look back and say, maybe it was a little bit easier when we were back in Egypt. There's something about the past. There's something about the nature of the old ways that tries to pull us back and say, you know, you were really much more comfortable back then. Because, you know, the truth of the matter is, when you're out here on the rock of Jesus in the natural, you don't feel like you've got a lot to stand on in your of your own self. But we understand who the rock is. We understand what our foundation is. Then we know that we can rise above any circumstance, any situation that comes our way, and we will walk and see God do what God said he would do. God's will done God's way never lacks God's power. Turn with me to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, and I'm going to start with, I'm just going to read verse 31. It says this. Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? He's saying here, you know, there's things that are going to come against us. Pastor's been telling us that God's been developing a Gideon's army. We can look in the natural and we say, boy, we used to be bigger than we are now. Or there used to be greater things. We used to do things different. It seems like the music was a little bit different. And maybe it was for a lot of people that they prefer it a different way. Maybe some people feel like, well, the chairs have been rearranged different. I don't understand why it is. You know, we kind of get settled in what we feel like our comfort zones are. And when there's an ongoing, progressive, redemptive revelation of the will of God, nothing remains the same. It means there's going to be change. It means things are not going to remain the same. And we can look at numbers and we can look at people and we can look at the way things used to be. And you get your eyes on those things and you can't think about where you are right now. We need to stop and consider where I am right now. I am where I am because God brought me to this point of my life and in this day. And I haven't given up. I haven't cried uncle and gone to be with the Lord or wherever else we may have gone. But I'm still here and I'm still moving forward and I'm still believing God. And the rock that began is the same rock that I'm standing on. And will be the same rock that is there tomorrow. I love the songs we sang today because they just really stirred what I'm talking about here. But we gotta get tough. I did a message several months ago about inner man, stand up. We gotta pull on the strength and the gift and the life of God that's on the inside of us. If you've cried out, Jesus, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said to Peter, he said, that's the revelation that I'm gonna build my church upon. And if there's been a point in your life where you've called out to Jesus, then there is a vision of God on the inside of you that's waiting for you to submit to it so he can come forth and do what God's called you to do. But sometimes we just have to get tough on the inside. We've got to choose to develop an inner toughness for the journey. We've got to choose to grow up. We've got to choose to say, I'm not given to that anymore. Hearing what they were doing on the commercial there about these men teaching their children, you know, those principles of God. Well, most of us have sat in churches and we've heard principle after principle after principle. Well, hearing it is not just enough. We've got to become doers of those principles. We've got to start walking. We've got to literally begin to obey God in the things that we know he's called us to do. Some people say, well, where do I begin? Begin by doing those things that you know you're supposed to do that you haven't been doing. Maybe it's in your giving. Maybe it's in your Bible reading. Maybe it's in your prayer time. And I want you to know, I don't think Bible reading and prayer time and giving does anything to change God. What that does, it lines me up with what God has for me and gives me the strength. Because when I know that I've been obedient to God, and we're going to get to that one in a minute. When I know I've been obedient to God, then I know that God is going to be free to move in my life. Because where there is no darkness, the life of God has got plenty of space to do what he's called to do. Number two. This is good for somebody. Never let your current status determine your success. Never let your current status determine your success. Let me back up and say one more thing about developing toughness for the inner, an inner toughness for the journey. Sometimes you just got to press through. Don't give up. Just press through it. Never let your current status determine your success. In Genesis, we looked at Joseph. We looked that he went to the pit. A lot of folk, when they got in the pit, they'd given up. Well, I guess God's dream just wasn't big enough because I just shared it with just a couple of folk and they put me in a pit. It would have been a good place to give up. Well, how am I ever going to see God's dream come true if I'm in this pit? And then Joseph came out of the pit and he was sold as a slave and ended up in Potiphar's house. And there were some things that happened in Potiphar's house that weren't real spiritual. Yeah, there were some things that happened that were spiritual, but there were some things that, you know, Potiphar's wife kind of liked him a little bit more than he should have. And because he didn't respond correctly, he got lied on. And because of that, he ended up in prison. And that would have been a great place to say, I give up. Here I am in prison. And God, there was someone came and he shared the truth, and that was a great opportunity for him to get out. It backfired on him. But Joseph didn't give up. He held on. He held on to the dream. And God fulfilled. He went from the pit to Potiphar to the prison, and he came up into the promise. Success to God is completing the assignment that is in front of us. Success to God is completing the assignment that is set before us. Whatever the assignment of God is in your life, it's that progressive, ongoing, progressive, redemptive revelation of the will of God. Maybe it is to, and this is one of mine for years and years and years, is that I would raise four kids who knew Jesus Christ. That was a major goal for me, is that my children would know Jesus. And that when they left my home, I wouldn't worry about whether or not they're holding on. Now, are they all doing real good right now? Spiritually speaking, I cannot stand here and testify that they're all doing as well as I think they ought to be doing. But one thing I know, they know who He is. They know who He is. And it's not my place anymore to get at them. Because they've got on inside of them something that's stirring. And I say all four of my kids have got the call of God on their lives. Now, I've confronted them with it, but I don't harp on it. I just say, hey, you know what God's called you to do? You're the one that has to lay your head down on a pillow at night and decide, am I doing what God's called me to do or am I not? It's not my place anymore. That was my ongoing, progressive, redemptive revelation when they were young, is to make sure they knew Jesus. And I wasn't shoving it down their throats. Man, I love Jesus. And because I love Jesus, they love Jesus. It wasn't something I had to preach and be all mean and whatever about. It was the relationship that helped them. Never let your current status determine your success. Number three. Be sure you always put the vision in God's hands. Be sure you always put the vision in God's hands. And y'all, a real good temperature gauge of whether or not the vision is in God's hand or not is if you're not seeing it happening. Or if you're worried it's not happening. Or if you just are complaining it's not happening. Or if you're whining it's not happening. Because if we're whining that it's not happening, then it's in my hands. Bill Gothard said, worry is assuming a responsibility that is not yours to assume. If the vision is God's, then there's a place in God that we've got to find a word called rest. And if I'm not in rest, the vision's not in the hand of God. If I'm not in a place of rest, the vision's not in the hand of God. It's in my hands. It may be the vision of God. And this is where we're really tested in our lives. This is where we have to choose to grow up. Because sometimes I say, well, God, I don't see it happening the way I think it ought to be happening. So I'm going to sit here and deal with it of myself. You know what God says? Go ahead. Go ahead. I had a lady tell me last week, she said, do you realize the last 9 years of your life you've been in the desert? And I said, oh, yeah, I know. She said, well, get ready because you're coming out. I said, I received that word. I received that word. The desert ain't fun. The desert's hot. The food stinks. The company's not fun. And everything's dirty. But I'm coming out of my desert. I believe that. You have to understand that we've got to make sure that the vision's in God's hand. You see, not the pit, not Potiphar, nor prison. Circumstances do not control your destiny. God does. Circumstances do not control your destiny. God does. Is the vision, is the ongoing, progressive, redemptive revelation of the will of God for your life, is it in the hands of God or is it in your hands? Isn't it amazing? He gives us His will and then He says, now you give it back to me. Because if you do it in and of your own strength, I can't touch it. But if you give it back to me, He says, watch and see what I'll do. And there's a lot of folk that'll testify He won't do it. This is one man that'll tell you, I've seen it time after time after time after time. God will, if God gives you a word, He will see to it that it comes to pass.
Yes, He will.
He will see to it as long as we give it to Him. But if we want to put our hands on it, He'll say, all right, you go around that mountain as many times as you need to. I'm waiting for you to grow up. Ouch. I'm waiting for you to press through. I'm waiting for you to give up and let me be God. Amen. Let Him be God. Amen. Last one. We're going to get out of church early today. Aren't y'all excited? I'm doing 4 in like 15 minutes. Last one. Stay obedient in all things until Dad shows up. Stay obedient in all things until Dad shows up. In Ephesians, I believe it's chapter 6, the Word of God says, having done all, stand. Stand, therefore. Having done all you know to do, stand. Doing all you know to do. Stay obedient in all the things that you know God's called you to be obedient in. This morning you were obedient to get up and not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Do you know that releases the power of God on your behalf? What a God we serve. We can't do anything for Him that He doesn't more do toward us. We were obedient this morning in our praise and worship. We began to worship the Lord. We began to lift our hands. We began to sing. You see, I don't worship because I want to impress somebody with my worship. I worship because my God is worthy. And He created a worshiper heart on the inside of me. And I've developed that worshiper heart. If I stand there like a lump on a log, watch the kids, do anything but enter in, then I'm not getting a part of the ongoing, progressive, redemptive revelation of the Word of God, of the will of God concerning worship and praise in my life. Because I'm telling you what, there are some people that will see the breakthrough in their lives that they've been wanting to when they'll just simply give to obedience and worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I don't worship because I'm good. I worship because He is worthy.
Amen.
He is worthy. And especially when I don't feel like it. That's when you grow up. That's when maturity shows. When I worship, not because I feel like it, because He's God and He's worthy. When I give to my worship, my flesh is saying, you don't feel like it today. Look at what's been said to you. Look at how you've done. Look at your finances. Look at your car. Look at your groceries. Look at the bills. Look at this. Look at that. I'm not worshiping because of all that's right or all that's wrong. I'm worshiping because He's worthy. He's God. And the Word says that those that when that He will inhabit the praises of His people, where two or three are gathered together and become in that place of agreement, God's going to show up and see if it's true, and He's going to do some mighty things in our midst. But I'm still not worshiping in order to move God. I'm worshiping because He is God. And He gave me hands to lift, feet to dance. And I may dance like a fat white man, but guess what? I'm going to dance like a fat white man for God because He's worthy. Drake was dancing up here today. And you know, he got that, and you see that little look in his face. Sometimes you just want to kiss him, you know? You just want to eat him up. But he was dancing up here, and I was thinking, you know, God, get it in him early. Get it in him early. Let him see the examples of worshipers so that he can grow up in his life. And when the storms close, come, and when the winds blow, he'll do like David. He'll dance his way out of the desert. I'll never forget one time I was in Toronto, Canada, at a conference up there. There were over 6,000 people there. And there was a young man, about 15 years old, standing to the side, and he had some flags in his hand. And I thought, well, I guess he's going to worship the Lord with flags today. And when the praise and worship began, this man began to do some things with flags that I have never seen in my life. And it was not showy, it was enhancing. That's the thing about worship, it always enhances your worship. But I saw this guy do something. I mean, he was throwing flags in the air and catching them like this and doing all kinds of things. But it was flowing with the music in such a way that it just, I mean, cold chills just ran all over me. And I experienced the presence of God. You say, was somebody waving a flag? Yep, was somebody waving a flag. It's amazing what God will use if we'll just give it to Him. Some people dance before God. And, you know, sometimes in your obedience to dance, it'll break the power of the enemy. Sometimes in your shout, it'll still the work of the enemy. Sometimes in your just lifting the Lord and just being silent and still before God because you're in His presence, that presence and power of God will come and shatter everything that's come against you. Be willing and obedient to do all the things that God's called you to do. You know what they are. I'm not your judge. I don't judge anybody. But whatever God's told you to do, whatever God's instructed you to do, sometimes we know because to do something, it's just right because the Word says so. Pastor talked about the other day. He said, you know, you can either be a tither in the house of God or you can have a hole in your pockets. The truth is the truth. The Word says a man that doesn't tithe is like a man who has a hole in his pocket. The money's just never there. And you're always wondering why, you know, we're making more money today than we've ever made in our lives. Why does there seem to be problems? Because if you're not tithing, there's a hole in your pocket. I've lived this example. And the enemy says, I'll watch. He said, you give, watch what I'll do. I'll tear your car up left and right. And I finally just said, well, it's not my car, it's God's. So if you want to tear it up, tear it up. You got to answer to Him, not to me. I'm not going to get in the mully grubs over this anymore. And it's amazing. This week, next Sunday, I'm leaving for the Florida Keys for 6 days on an all-expense-paid vacation. And y'all, only God could do that. It's amazing. I'm 52 years old. I've never been to the Florida Keys. And I've always thought, I'd love to go to the Florida Keys. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get up before the sun rises. I'm going to watch the sun come up from the southernmost tip of the Florida Keys. And everybody says there's a place that's called the southernmost tip so you can go and watch the sun come up. But it's really not the southernmost tip because there's a National Guard armory, a place where the National Guard people live, it's on the line, and it is the southernmost tip. Guess where I'm going to stay? I'm staying on the National Guard Reserve. And so I will get to get up and go to the southernmost tip of the United States, and I will get to watch the sun come up. I'm going there. Yes. Oh, yeah, I'll watch it come down, too. It's going to be a week. And it's all expenses paid. All expenses paid. Somebody called somebody and said, do you know anybody that could help me about a day and a half's work? Then I'd fly them down. Because if they come and do this day and a half's work, it's going to save me $1,000. And I'll fly them whatever the cost is. I'll fly them down. And they'll come do this day and a half's work. And then the rest of the week, they can stay at my extra room. And I'm going by myself, all expenses paid. Just me and God. We're going to sit on the southern tip. We're going to watch the sun come up, watch the sun go down. Going to take me a book. Going to sit on the beach and read. Going to be quiet before God. I've never been to the Florida Keys, and I get to go. Why? Not because I did something right, because my God knows it was a desire of my heart. And a couple of months ago, he spoke to me in my heart and said, I want you to give X amount of money. I went, God, I don't even have a job. How can I give? I broke. I said, you know, this happened the last time I preached, and it sounds like thunder and lightning on the tape, and I thought, wow, man, that sounds like I did some great theatrics before the king. I'll just hold it like this because I think I just broke it. Stay obedient in all things until Dad comes. Last scripture, Hebrews chapter 10. Start reading verse 35. Read through verse 38. It says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and that's where some of us are right now, we're in the little while. And he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Dad's in the hallway. Now the just shall live by faith. But anyone who draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. You can go on and read, going into chapter 11, and there's all that good stuff there. But I said all of that to say three things. Number one, stay focused. Stay focused. If it's just one step going forward right now, stay focused on that one step. If your one step is to be found in this place on Sunday morning, then you make sure no matter what comes through your week, you're here on Sunday morning. If you need to stay focused on your tithe, then stay focused on your tithe. That was Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 through 38. Stay focused. If there's something God's called you to do, stay focused. If it's to get your marriage in line, stay focused. If it's to deal with your children, stay focused. Don't give up. Don't grow weary in well-doing. And sometimes that dealing with your children is just continuing to give that vision to God. Because sometimes in the natural, you just want to, especially when there's the age of my youngins, you want to just, you don't want to jerk a knot in their tails, and it don't help when they're that old. They're looking for that unconditional love. And there's got to come a place where you say, okay, God, I give it to you because it's more than I can deal with right now. I've done what I know to do. Maybe I didn't do everything right. Maybe I did some things out of anger. Maybe I did some things I shouldn't have done. Maybe I said some things I shouldn't have done. But they're yours now, and I'm not going to touch it. I'm just going to keep them before you. Keep them before you. Number one, stay focused. Number two, stay obedient. The word says that obedience is better or greater than the sacrifice. So when I know that God's called me to be obedient to something, maybe it's obedient to get alone with him every morning or every afternoon or every evening. Maybe it's obedient to read the word. Maybe it's obedient to pray. Maybe it's obedient to tithe. Maybe it's obedient to come to Lamplight Church. Maybe it's obedient to not speak out harsh words. You know what God's called you to do. Where is God calling you to walk in that ongoing, progressive, redemptive revelation of the will of God? Stay obedient in that. And number three, Dad's going to show up. Dad's going to show up. Father God, Abba Father, is going to show up. It's amazing that I can see an example in my two boys some almost, 25 years ago. And that I can get so much strength from what I saw by my father saying, remember how Christopher said, Dad's in the hallway? He said, how much more am I there? How much more is the Father there? How much more is the Father there? I think I just lost it. It died just in time. I guess that means I'm not supposed to say anymore. But those are four things to do. And don't cry, Uncle. Don't give up. Don't quit. Hold on. Stay focused.
Yes.
Stay obedient.
Yes.
And know that Dad's coming. Know that Dad's in the hallway. There's nothing going on in your life he doesn't know about.
Right.
And all it would take is for him to say, stop it. And how many knows? Everything will have to obey the command of God.
Amen.
Nothing is greater than the voice of God. Mm-hmm. All it takes is him to look in your life, to look at your finances, to look at what you're coming against, to look at the lack of a job, to look at the things that you're facing, to look at whatever is going on. All it takes is two words from the Father saying, stop it. Church, there's no doubt in my heart that he wants to do that in our lives greater today than it's ever happened before, or we wouldn't be hearing this word. We wouldn't be hearing this word. I've been holding on to that. I've been, every time I look at my situation, I look at my circumstances, and I say, okay, Father, I'm not going to let this get to me. I'm going to give it back to you because you're the author and the finisher. I'm not going to let this get me down. I'm going to give it back to you. I'm not going to let this overwhelm me. I'm going to give it back to you. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to give it back to you. I'm not going to look at the way it looks now. I'm going to give it to you because you're better. You're bigger. You're stronger. You're greater. And what you say always works.
Always.
Amen. Always.
Always. Amen.
Father, I thank you today for an encouraging word. It was a lot more encouraging than I thought it was going to be. Lord, I thank you that you are in the hallway. And that we today are not a people who give up. We are not a people who choose to stay immature. We are not a people that just are sitting on our spiritual suitcase waiting for Jesus to return. But we are a people who will stand, therefore, doing all that we know to do, trusting in you. What you started, you will complete. What you said works every time. And Lord, that the word that we get from this place, the word that we choose to walk in, is fuel for our process. And we'll allow that word to fill our tank today so that we'll have something to go through our tomorrows that'll sustain us until we get some more. We love you and we thank you and we bless you. Lord, I ask you to cause every one of us to hear this word by the Spirit, but to apply this word to our daily lives. And we will see you do what you said you would do. I love you. I thank you. I praise you. I honor you. Lord, anyway, if what I said about my vacation sound boastful, then I repent. Lord, I just want to talk about your goodness. You're so good to me.
Yes,
you blow me away, Lord. You blow me away. I'm just in awe of how good you are. Just in awe. And I love you and I thank you and I praise you. And everybody agreed, said amen.
Amen.
We will see you next week. Next Sunday.